Before we begin our study this morning, I want to take the time to thank all the good brethren who kept my wife and my family in their prayers, were offering their support in our time of need as my wife reacted to iodine in a contrast CT scan and went into anaphylactic shock Friday evening. But thankfully, I can report she is now at home as I record this Tuesday night. And so we're very thankful unto God for the answering of our prayers and all the brethren who are also praying for her. It means so very much. I can assure you of that. Well, this morning, we're going to ask the question, who was Epaphroditus? Our text is Philippians 2, 25 through 30. And let's just go ahead and read that at this time. Philippians 2, 25 through 30. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And we'll begin our study of who was Epaphroditus in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we all should know that stands for the most important thing we could be doing, preparing for eternity. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes, and then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit and in truth. That would be with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And I can assure you, you will receive a very warm welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you're interested in studying the Bible together, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated as well. And so again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one more thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get back to our study concerning who was Epaphroditus. Well, to start out our study, let me ask this question. Who comes to mind when you think about the brethren at Philippi? Well, perhaps Lydia, the seller of purple cloth, the little maiden who had been possessed by a spirit of divination, or the Philippian jailer and his household, perhaps come to mind. Acts 16, 14 through 34. But what about Epaphroditus? Well, he also was one of the brethren at Philippi. What kind of man was he? He was not out in the forefront as the Apostle Paul, but he was known and loved very much by Paul and, of course, the brethren there at Philippi. So we can learn many lessons from a study of Epaphroditus, as again we're asking the question, who was Epaphroditus? To start with, in verse 25, as we just read a moment ago, we see that he was a brother of Paul. Yes, he was Paul's brother in the Lord's church. You see that there, as Paul said, my brother. Well, of course, that meant Epaphroditus had obeyed the gospel. Notice with me Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28. For ye are all the children of God, now here it comes, by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So if we have not been baptized into Christ, we have not put on Christ, and thus we're outside of the body of Christ. Let's be sure that we have obeyed the gospel in accordance to the scriptures of the New Testament. So to be a brother or a sister in Christ, we must have obeyed the gospel of Christ and have been added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. Notice on the day the church began in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Unto them would be those who were baptized under John's baptism as the forerunner to Christ, which would have included the apostles. And you see in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice that, to the church. Not churches, but the church. And the Lord did the adding. No one was joining the church we're reading about now that began on the day of Pentecost here in Acts chapter 2, which the Lord purchased with his precious blood. And he is the foundation. He is obviously the head of the church and is his body, and he only has one body. So we need to understand that. That's vitally important, eternally important. But notice, those who have never obeyed the gospel and those who are in false religion started by man, they're not our brethren. They're our fellow man. They're our friends, and many of them are our family members, neighbors, co-workers, and we care about them. We should care about all the lost and want to see them saved by submitting to the gospel of Christ. Now, those who have left the church and have gone into denominations, we should refer to them as erring brethren. To be called a Christian, one must be a true follower of Christ, a faithful follower. And, of course, that's after obeying his doctrine. Now, let's notice something else in our study of, again, the question we're asking, who was Epaphroditus? Again, we go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, and we see, yes, he was Paul's fellow laborer in the Lord's vineyard. In other words, Epaphroditus was a worker for the Lord. Remember singing the hymn, I want to be a worker for the Lord? Well, all of us should have that desire. In Philippians chapter 2, going up to verse 12, notice with me, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Are we doing that? We need to be working out our salvation. And Epaphroditus was a dependable worker. He could be counted on by the brethren. Paul certainly trusted him. Notice verse 29 of our text here in Philippians chapter 2. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation. Well, what about us? Are we dependable workers in the Lord's vineyard? If not, why not? What's the problem? Do we not love God? We should, because he first loved us and sacrificed Christ in order for our salvation to be possible. That should be a motivation for everyone to be certainly faithful in the Lord's church and a worker. Notice 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, notice that word again, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this is not meritorious works. No, it's works of righteousness, laboring in the Lord's vineyard, that is, the Lord's church. And so, what will the Lord find us doing when he returns, if he returns in our lifetime? Well, that's something to be sure about, isn't it? That we're workers, faithful in the Lord's church. But let's go on and notice something else as we answer the question, who was Epaphroditus? Well, again in verse 25 here in Philippians 2, he was Paul's fellow soldier in the Lord's army. Epaphroditus would defend the truth, as Paul, of course, would. Philippians 1, as we go back a chapter, notice verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, that is, he was chained to a Roman soldier at the time of this inspired epistle. Notice, in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Well, verse 17, still in Philippians 1. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul is a prisoner at this time, but he's still defending the truth, the gospel of Christ. What about us? Are we prepared to take a stand for the truth? It's going to get more and more difficult. There will be some of us arrested, no doubt, for preaching and teaching the truth. What will we do? Will we stay faithful or give in and become woke, or whatever term you want to use that's popular nowadays? Well, look at Jude 3. As Jude changed his topic, because it was time to earnestly contend for the faith. And we need to be prepared to earnestly contend for the faith. So let's not be afraid of persecutions. Oh no. But do as Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. As Paul was facing execution, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, as we're seeing a good quality in answering the question, who was Epaphroditus? And certainly we're seeing some very good qualities. He was Paul's brother in the Lord's church. He was Paul's fellow laborer in the Lord's vineyard. And he was Paul's fellow soldier in the Lord's army. And again, verse 25 here in Philippians 2, something else to notice. Epaphroditus was Paul's messenger in the Lord's service. We see that as we note here he that ministered to my wants. And of course, he is doing the will of God in serving the inspired Apostle Paul. As you see, he look at Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well, Paul needed ministering too. He was in heaviness. Yes, he was full of heaviness, verse 26, as he longed for the brethren. And you had heard that he had been sick. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But notice, as Epaphroditus is taking Paul's inspired letter to the brethren at Philippi. That's right. He is a good supporter and in the service of the Lord, working with the Apostle Paul and being a messenger. He was a good minister as well. He ministered to Paul's wants, but he's also a messenger. That's something to note. So, are we good supporters in the Lord's service? Are we good encouragers? Are we supporting our Bible class teachers, our song leaders, and the men preaching the truth? Are we good messengers in the Lord's service, ministers to those in need? Well, notice Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Are we fulfilling the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens? Well, let's examine ourselves as we ask the question, who was Epaphroditus? Well, something else we need to note in our study of Epaphroditus. He was sensitive to the feelings of others for the cause of Christ. He longed for their fellowship, and he was full of heaviness, verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he was sick. Well, I was talking about Paul in heaviness. Well, it was actually Epaphroditus. So let me correct that. But Paul, of course, needed consoling as well, as he was concerned about his brethren. And as you see in verse 27, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So we can allude that to both Paul and Epaphroditus. But again, this is something we need to point out. Epaphroditus was longing for the fellowship of his dear brethren. And you see, he was more concerned for others than he was for himself. Philippians 2:30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. He served God even when he was sick. Isn't that something? Well, again, we need to learn from our study of the question, who was Epaphroditus? He was a faithful follower of Christ who was concerned about his brethren. And notice verse 30, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. They were lacking in taking care of Paul, where Epaphroditus was filling that role. He served God even when he was sick. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death. We need to take note of such a faithful man as Epaphroditus. And certainly it's a good study in asking the question, who was Epaphroditus? Well, This was someone who would have done whatever it took to serve God in a faithful service, not half-hearted. So he was willing to make sacrifices. Are we willing to make sacrifices for the cause of Christ? Are we sensitive to the needs of others? Notice with me Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. That should uplift us in understanding how we are blessed by the mercies of God, by His grace, His love in sending His Son to die for our sins. We need to be willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And it is reasonable for us to do this. We don't want to be like the world. No, sir. We want to renew our mind and prove what is that good and perfect will of God. But let's go on and notice one other quality before we close out our study. This man that we're studying, as we ask the question, who was Epaphroditus? Well, he was a servant of God who was willing to die for the cause of Christ, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Verse 30. You see, like Paul, Epaphroditus was ready to die, if need be, for the Lord. Remember Paul in chapter 1, verse 21, by inspiration, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What about us? Again, we need to make this an application to ourselves. Are we willing to die for our Lord and Savior? Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." I will give thee the crown of life. That's what we need to look forward to, even if we were to die for the cause of Christ. Is not heaven worth it all? Surely, it will be worth it all. Well, notice Mark 8:35. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Well, we've learned a lot as we've asked the question, who was Epaphroditus? We see, of course, that Epaphroditus, while serving Christ, was Paul's brother, a faithful brother in Christ. He was a fellow laborer working alongside the great Apostle Paul. He was a fellow soldier in the Lord's army. Well, we need to be these qualities too, do we not? He was a messenger. He was useful in the service, of course, to Christ, but he's helping Paul, who was a prisoner at the time. And we also saw that Epaphroditus was sensitive to the feelings of others. Yes, and he cared about his brethren, wanted to see to their needs. And as we just finished, he was willing to die for the cause of Christ. We need more brethren in the church today who have the Christian qualities of Epaphroditus, do we not? We certainly do. Are we what the Lord would have us to be? If not, why not? It's not too late to change and do what we should be doing, because Christ suffered and died for us, and God the Father allowed it to happen, and that should motivate us all to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and might with all our being and serve God in the capacities that we're able. And so as we close out our study this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? If not, we stand ready to assist you in doing what the scriptures teach us to do, the commands that are given. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. It can come no other way. Now we're ready to believe. Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Now, having believed that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, we're ready to repent. Here's where we're going to change our way of thinking and do God's will, get out of sin, leave that behind, and start in a new direction in the way that God would have us to go, in the way, following Christ. Now, having repented, Luke 13:3-5, we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. So we're going to state, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made that confession, Romans 10:9-10, we're now ready for the last step that puts us into Christ. But there's one more step, of course, in salvation. And we'll mention that in just a moment. But here's how we contact the precious blood of Christ. By being immersed into a watery grave where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Saul, why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized, and notice, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, submitting to his authority. In other words, Acts 22:16. So, as Jesus shed his blood in his death, we're dying to sin and contacting his precious blood. As we come up out of the watery grave to walk in newness of life, the Lord adds us to his body, as we noticed in Acts 2:47 earlier. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now we get to the last step, living faithfully the rest of our life, even if it meant dying for the cause of Christ, as Epaphroditus was ready to do, as Paul did die for the cause of Christ, as historians reveal. We need to be faithful even unto death, Revelation 2:10. So, we stand ready to study further with anyone. If one is not sure, we can sit down together and look at the Word of God together. And be sure that this is doing the will of God and not just going by what someone well-meaning told me. As you've heard me say, Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And we better stay with the Word of God no matter how many do not. There'll be few that find the way. We want to be of the few, do we not? So we're ready to assist you in obeying the gospel, certainly study further, and we look forward to seeing you at our services, and we thank you so much for listening today.